The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, that he was going to accomplish all in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And they were about to part from him, but Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud a voice that said, "This is my chosen one. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. This event of the Transfiguration, very familiar to us, which appears in all three synoptic Gospels, not mentioned in John's Gospel for very special reasons, we'll discuss at another time, but mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it seems like it's something very, very distant, something mystical, something beyond our experience, and therefore to just look at it as a theological history, as something that happened in the past, but doesn't have a relevance in the present moment. And for these few moments of homily, I would like to summon this experience of transfiguration into the present moment and attempt to find a meaning for it in our journey of life today. Look at the exegesis of it. It's the mountain. Biblically, of course, the mountain is the place of God's revelation. They're summoned to the mountain. We have Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, to affirm the messianic identity of Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. They do speak about his exodus, sometimes translated his death, in their conversation. There's something very mystical about this. But in order to understand this, we have to go back in Matthew's Gospel, back to chapter 16. It's in chapter 8 in Mark, and this whole text appears in chapter 9 in the Gospel of Luke. So we'll go back here just a little bit before this, and they are at Caesarea Philippi, which is a very scenic place up on the Lebanese border, and there's a park there today. It's a very beautiful, beautiful area, the foothills of Mount Hermon. And here you will remember, Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they say, "Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets," and so forth. But he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, he says, "You are the Messiah." And you will remember now that in Matthew's Gospel, he said, "You are Simon, you are Cephas, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's in Matthew's Gospel. And that now everything is just wonderful. The power of Jesus is there. The messianic presence of Jesus is revealed. And all is well. And then something happens which breaks all of the wellness. Some major event happens which breaks down all their belief, because Jesus says, but the Son of Man must suffer. He will be judged unjustly. He will suffer and he will die. And then he will rise again. And Peter says, God forbid this would happen to you. This can't happen to you. We're riding a crest. This suffering and dying and being judged, this can't happen to you. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. You are thinking like men. You are not thinking the thoughts of God. You're thinking about worldly triumph. And now they are discouraged. The glory moment of the Messiah is somehow crushed, and their spirits are down. And now Jesus says, we'll go to the mountain. And he takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain to reveal the glory of God and Jesus Christ, to renew their spirits, to lift up their confidence, to teach them that in humanity there is a wonder of God's presence. Unless you attach this transfiguration event to what went before, you will not understand it. They yet don't understand it, but they're beginning to understand it, that the glory of God dwells inside what appears to be merely human. Now, what does this mean to us? In real life, what does this mean to us? Well, let me give you an example of what this really means today. We have a disciple of Christ. His name is Paul. He belongs, he's registered in another parish, but he's attached to Holy Family because he belongs to our gay and lesbian community meeting here every Wednesday night at St. Joseph's Center. Paul is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's a very holy man. He's now very advanced in his cancer. This week he left the hospital, went home to die. And the times I visited Paul in the hospital, and I blessed him, my prayer over him, that he would be called to the mountain of transfiguration, that he would see that he is a chosen person. In God's providence, he's a blessed disciple. A man who has endured severe judgment, rejection, the misunderstanding of ignorance. Even in his own church, he has been told that he's objectively disordered. And yet, he belongs to the chosen people of God. I assured him that his love for his partner was as sacred and sincere as anybody's love, and that somehow his life has meaning. His life has value in the kingdom of God. Forget what the world says, but in the kingdom of God, his life is sacred. He is God's chosen person. He's called to the mountain to discover in our humanity the glory of God. Now someday, it happens to every one of us, we'll go through darkness and our dreams will be crushed and our expectations will be ruined and darkness will fall upon us and we're somehow paralyzed inside our humanity. And this is the time when we are called to the mountain. Called to the mountain of transfiguration to rediscover that inside the broken humanity, inside our sinfulness and our darkness and our struggles, there is the glory of God. I've had it many times in my own life where I am weighed down by my sins and my failings, my embarrassment, and somehow the Spirit of God calls me to the mountain of transfiguration and said, lift up your spirit. The glory of God lives inside of you. Never doubt the power of God's presence in your life. Because ultimately, what Desjardins told us is true. We are not human persons trying to become spiritual. We are spiritual persons trying to be human. So the Transfiguration is an enormous invitation to rediscover for each and every one of us, in ourselves and in those around us, the wonder of God's presence. And only when we discover that will our lives ultimately have a deep and profound meaning. Only then can we look at each and every person and say, I can see through the eyes of Transfiguration the glory of God in each person. Amen.